This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9 and 3AW Better Together.
Better Together.
With 3AW's Neil Mitchell and Joy's David McCarthy, raising awareness of issues affecting today's youth. Have your say. Call 96 900 693 or 131 332.
131 332.
It is 19 minutes to midday. David McCarthy, Neil Mitchell. Robert Doyle will join us in a moment. But Seb Costello, David, a very hardy lot who've been come down here for the broadcast. Seb's out there with a number of people for face-to-face talkback. Seb?
Yeah, it's 11 degrees, Neil, so we're very grateful to the people who've stuck around for the broadcast this morning. We've been talking about the various factors that play on the self-esteem of young people, especially homosexual young people. And Zach, when you came out about 30, 20 years ago, there was a factor at play for you that I don't think's been raised yet.
No, well, I was gay, and I'm over, like, my parents came from two different European nations, and I had a religious upbringing too. So growing up in suburban Melbourne in the 1970s and 80s, it was a difficult thing. It was a particularly difficult thing, especially when the height of the AIDS crisis was hitting too back in that time, you know. So I kind of remember growing up being gay, a gay male of an ethnic background, but also great stigma because of a lot of bad things that were happening at the time with gay men in particular, you know?
What happened when you came out?
Well, I spoke to my parents. I remember I spoke to my parents, who immediately advised me to go and see a psychiatrist, which I did, which helped. It helped in due course. I mean, nothing was a quick fix. It helped, but it was very difficult, you know, it was very, very difficult.
And maybe that's one area we think of when we think of working with ethnic communities who have attitudes that perhaps need to be worked with. Aaron's here as well, and Aaron, your story is a particularly brave one in a country town, and you chose to tell the world about your sexuality choice. Tell us about that.
Well, I firstly came out when I was about 13 to some family and friends, and That was definitely difficult because there was a lot of rumours going around school and I didn't know how to cope with it. I ran away from home a lot of times, and also having two disabled parents was definitely difficult because it was just so much more pressure on me, I guess, to be this single child and, you know, be the precious little one. But when I was probably six. Yeah, last year, when I was 17, I then came out to my dad's side of the family through a news article because I didn't know how to come out.
You did an interview in a newspaper?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. And that was the first that they knew about it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, how did they react?
They were very shocked.
Yes.
The day that the newspaper actually hit, I took a train to Warrnambool to be with my partner for some support.
Gee, I would have gone to London.
And my grandfather called me up, and he was the first one that I spoke to and definitely the most nervous about, because they're both Dutch and they grew up in a Catholic background. And he said, "Don't cry, don't be silly about it, we love you no matter what." And that was about 5 days before he passed away. So that was the most amazing thing to hear from him, because he was more like a father figure, not having my biological father in my life for most of my life. So it was definitely one of the best things that I've ever done.
How is life now?
Yeah.
Life's amazing. I've been with my partner for 2 years. I met her through the Rural Youth Council for Sexual Diversity, and that really, they were like my family for the last 2 years of my life, and I've made some amazing friends and my partner. And we've, yeah, just been really strong. My mother's completely supportive and backing me 110%, fighting for equal rights and equal love.
And it's a special relationship between Aaron and Lucy, Neil, because this beanie and jacket Aaron's wearing is Lucy. She's over there in a T-shirt in 11 degrees. So that's a good relationship. And we'll just finish with Karen, who had a gay son come out to you. And I think the question I want to ask you, is what advice do you have for other parents dealing with that sort of situation?
Okay, Seb, well, when my son came out, I was really probably fairly homophobic as a Christian regional mum, okay? And I had to make a choice. I could break contact, which wasn't an option for me. I could stick my head in the sand, as people in my generation have done for about 50 years. Or I could try and change him, okay? Because at that point, I thought it was a choice. And like Macca said, I've come a long way in 16 years to the other end of the spectrum, where I know that is the very soul of who you are. But the other one is to accept reality and get education and debunk the myths that I'd learnt and unlearn all that misinformation that I'd had over the last, I'm not telling you how many years, a lot of years, yeah.
Karen, how important is it in rural Australia that this message gets out there? I mean, you're involved in your church still. How important is it in those communities to undemonise homosexuality?
Well, it is. I think it's an evolution. I think it's going to be a long haul because it's entrenched. I think those myths and misinformation are just entrenched, and in rural communities, you know, the poofta bashing and all that sort of thing.
But particularly worse than the city, you're saying? You believe?
Well, I'm not a city slicker, no. So I don't really know. But I think it is. Like my son had things said to him, like, you know, I'm being dripped on. That in the war they were told to save their mates, except if they were one of those. You know, that sort of thing. He's had to put up with a lot. Fortunately, he's resilient, but I think it's huge.
Well, we've seen the Australian Defence Force now supports same-sex couples, supports them in all sorts of ways. But, you know, rural Australia, it needs to change. And I think, you know, like the National Party, you can love the sheep, but not the shepherd. And they need to change.
Not sure about that. We'll take a break and come back. We need to move somewhere with this. Michael Carr-Gregg, Robert Doyle, the Lord Mayor, is with us, who has helped facilitate what's happened today, and, of course, Macca and myself in a moment.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 and 3AW Better Together.
Better Together.
With 3AW's Neil Mitchell and Joy's David McCarthy, raising awareness of issues affecting today's youth. Have your say. Call 96 900 693 or 131 332.
131 332.
It is 8:58 now. Robert Doyle and Michael Carr-Gregg in a moment to sort of join this discussion. Where do we go from here? It's all very well to discuss it and to show the concern that's been shown, but where do we go from here? First, Robert. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Neil. How are you going? Neil, if both major political parties accepted gay marriage, I think it would take a lot of the stigma away from homosexuality. Also, in schools, between schools and religions, homosexuality is genetic. Religion isn't. And I don't think it should be taught in school and have religious doctrine jammed down the throat of kids that are too young to understand what they're having jammed down their throat.
Robert, I agree that if you legalise gay marriage, you save lives.
Mate, you're on the money. What can I say?
Mm. Robert Doyle is with me, the Lord Mayor. Councillor Doyle, good morning.
Neil, David.
And Michael Carr-Gregg continues with us. Robert, I know you've been listening. The frustration about doing something like this is, for a couple of hours we're shining this torch on it. What do we do? What happens next? Where do we go?
Look, that's a really tough question. I'm at a bit of a loss to sort of know that. I know Michael's got some suggestions about how we involve schools. We work with Joy very closely, and maybe it's a matter of the city and Joy working together so that if young people have this central part where they can call, we can direct them to services, we can help them there. But, you know, don't underestimate what you're doing here today, that we've raised a community issue that will have a life of its own now. It won't tail away and fall away, and you're not the sort of bloke who lets things fall, and I know this is something that Joy are very passionate about, and certainly from my perspective in the city as well. I wish I had a neat bundled answer for you, and I just don't.
Robert, look, we've raised the issue, and it's about all kids. It's not just about same-sex attracted kids. I want people to step up. I want them to understand and to think about this issue and to talk about this issue, whether it's in the supermarket, whether it's at a truck stop, whether it's at a water cooler. Respect and love starts with kids, and it starts in the schools. I'd like us to come back in a year's time and let's see what we can all do. I know we're going to continue working with 3AW on this and the City of Melbourne and Michael and Beyond Blue. Let's see in 1 year's time if we can make a difference.
But see, I like the line from Beyond Blue, lift your game.
Lift your game. Lift Australia, your game. Like, yeah. It's time, you know, for people to stand up and be counted. We can't afford to have this level of youth suicide anymore.
Michael?
SafeSchoolsVictoria.org.au is the Rainbow Coalition. 53 state schools in Victoria have signed up. What's happened to the others?
Yeah.
Why aren't they all members? I think it would be fantastic if we could use this sort of KPI. By this time next year, we'd at least doubled that. I also want to give a big promotion to Beyond Blue's sensibility program in schools. This is the best strength-based resilience program going around. We can talk about suicide all you like. You've got to actually talk about what causes the suicide,
yes.
And that's brilliant. And lastly, there's a book called Inside Out, which is an Australian collection of coming out stories written by Erin Shale in 1999. I wrote the introduction, and it basically is the story of hundreds of kids battling to come out, and it is the best book going around. People should go to their library, get it out, Inside Out by Erin Shale, and read the pain and the suffering that these kids have.
Robert Doyle, you're a former opposition leader. You know the way of politics. Is there anything we can do or should be doing at a political level, other than get frustrated with them, anything we could or should do to sort of focus a bit of attention, whether it's money, whether it's attitude, whatever it is?
I like David's idea. It's all part of that respect agenda. You know, whether it's violence in the city or racism, or whether it's prejudice against people who are gay and lesbian. It's all part of that same fabric and the same respect agenda. So from that perspective, we're working on a lot of things at once. And I think it is things like this where it raises the temperature a bit for all of those who are asked to comment in areas like this. I think that's a good thing. And I think it should just become an expectation. And I do feel in the community an inexorable pressure from the community to overcome this lack of respect.
Well, we won't. Let's just go to Maggie to finish off. Hello, Maggie.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes, go ahead, Maggie.
I'm 80 years old. I've been around the world a couple of times. I trained as a nurse. And one thing I've noticed is very missing in our society. We don't laugh enough.
Maggie.
Vitally important. Now, a sense of humour is not just an adjunct. It's an essential part of of your makeup.
Maggie, it's Robert
Maggie,
here. Can I help you there as one final comment? I know these are very serious issues we're discussing, and that's good because they are serious societal issues. But let me finish with a laugh. If you want to talk about marriage equality, what about 3AW and Joy? How funny is that?
It's fantastic. I just want to say, because
you've got a prejudice too.
I just want to say I want to thank Neil Mitchell, and I want to thank 3AW for giving Joy, and we've worked hard at this, but for giving Joy the opportunity for this. This is an important issue, not just for gay and lesbian kids. Thank you, Neil.
David McCarthy, thank you, and thank you for those words. And the people from Joy, was their initiative that came forward and nearly fell over and we agreed, didn't you? I hope we did something. I hope we saved lives. Thank you, everybody. Let's talk to you tomorrow, 8:30.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.